This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Coors Light. Enter the Coors Light Ultimate Home Gate Giveaway, including a Yeti cooler, portable grill, pop-up tent, $200 gift card, and more. Go to the 98.5 The Sports Hub contest page to enter, and then crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Must be 21+. Rules and restrictions apply. Brought to you by Coors Light. Made for football. Made to chill.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hi there, everybody. Welcome into the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you on Tuesday, November... I don't have it. What is it? 16th?
17th.
Tuesday, November 17th, here from our Tom Fertitta studios in Dorchester. As I said, it's a Tuesday during the football season. You know what that means, Maz?
Big boy.
It's the big boy himself, Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal, joining us via Zoom. Greg, are you there? Come in.
I am here.
Look
Hello.
At that.
How you doing, big fella?
You actually sound pretty good, too.
Yeah, actually don't sound horrible. That's good.
That's good.
It's an upgrade. So we're going to talk football with Greg Bedard over the next 2 hours, folks. You want to chime in? By all means, chime in. The Hounds will be released at 617-779-0985 in a few minutes. We'll keep you updated on any Celtics developments if they occur in the next 2 hours, and we'll get to that at 4 o'clock with your phones. But updates as necessary. Maz, what are you already smirking about?
Greg, if we can, zoom out just a shade because your head fills the whole square. You look like you're going to pop.
Will do, Maz.
Like, wow, I got myself a whole lot of Greg Bedard right now.
As we said,
that's 150%.
Big boy Tuesday.
Wow.
Okay, on the Zoom, more ways than one. All right, Bedard, start talking football. Tell me what the Patriots did. I want to know defensively, more than anything, what was the difference Sunday night against Baltimore versus most of the crap I've watched this season?
Well, they actually had a plan and they executed it. Look, this is a team that's familiar to them. They had a lot of learning to do off of last year's game. I'm sure they did it in the offseason. So they had a great plan. And basically it was the Patriots realized there are only certain ways. I think we've gotten to the point now in week 9 where now on both sides of the ball, the Patriots know exactly what type of team they have. So, you know, offensively, they have to play a certain way. Defensively, they have to play a certain way as well. And in this game, the Patriots went in and they said, look, we can't defend every single blade of artificial turf at Gillette Stadium against this team. They're too fast. Last year, we tried to do that. They were able to gash us in seams. And so this year, they basically said, we're going to keep the game in a telephone booth between the numbers. And so they employed a strategy to basically set two edges, depending on which way the tight end, the strong side of the formation, Winaventure or Simon would go up the field and take out that blocker. If there was a second blocker, because the Ravens like to do a lot of power runs and pulling, there would be Kyle Duggar or Jonathan Jones on the other side. So basically, they were not going to let the Ravens get outside the numbers and stretch them horizontally. And that actually plays to the Patriots' strength in this game. The defensive line has been an issue this year, but the Ravens' interior offensive line is just that bad this year that the Patriots had an advantage in there. So they kept it in a telephone booth. And if you can limit their running game and make Lamar Jackson have to beat you from the pocket in a weather game, especially, advantage Patriots.
So scoring for the coaches there.
Yep, absolutely.
And how about the personnel that they used? Okay, felt like they were younger. I felt like they played faster in this game. And, you know, does that have to do with the youth that they had on the field? And do it all second guess them for not going to it sooner?
I don't think there's any question that the young guys made a difference in this game. Namely, Chase Winovich had a monster game. Kyle Duggar had a lot of tackles, even though he didn't really pop that much on film as in terms of, you know, special plays. He just played within the scheme. And I thought that was good. Josh Uche even made, you know, he had a sack, was impactful in his snaps. So he has shown progress. As far as whether they should have played earlier in the season, I don't fault Bill Belichick for a lot of the decisions that he's made there.
Sorry.
In terms of.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
These guys, have had assignment problems. I not so much with Duggar. I haven't noticed that. I'm sure they have on film. But Winovich has had issues. I mean, the last time he was really out there in a decent role, San Francisco early, he made a decision, basically a selfish decision, to go after Garoppolo instead of staying with Deebo Samuel, and he kind of disappeared after that. And so it's incumbent upon these guys if they want to play. Bill Belichick is not going to put you on the field unless he trusts you to execute the game plan. And to this point, the young guys haven't earned that. Looks like they have started to. Let's see if that can continue or not.
You know, one of the things I was hoping is that they had built their team for games like last night. Maybe Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, not that they're the same guy, but you know, just sort of work with me, Greg, that they felt that they were going to be a nickel defense team for whatever reason, because they felt that was the best way to defend Mahomes and or Jackson or Deshaun Watson. I mean, just look at their schedule. They're playing all these guys. Never mind Josh Allen twice a year. I mean, you're facing really athletic quarterbacks in one way, shape, or form. And, you know, on one hand, I've been so frustrated that they don't have the linebackers to stop the run, and they're trying to play Adrian Phillips and these safeties as linebackers. But do you look at a game like Sunday night and say, well, that's why they're doing it, because they're building their team for that kind of opponent? Or have I just made that up?
I think that's possible. I don't completely rule that out. But, I think it's mostly a case of these young guys have just, when they've gotten their chances, they've made some mental mistakes. It has cost the team. This is a team on both sides of the ball that cannot afford mental mistakes. They're just not talented enough. And, Winovich made some mistakes early. He got off to a great start in Seattle, and then it was sort of a slow downhill from there, and it landed him basically as a sub-package rusher, and then the Patriots couldn't stop the run, so the sub-packages never really got on the field. But I think there's some merit to the Patriots had an idea that they were going to have to defend a lot of these teams. You know, Kyler Murray's coming up also with light boxes and athletic boxes. And hopefully these guys are advancing to a point now that in the second half of the season, they can turn them loose and really improve this defense.
Greg, is Terrence Hall as good as or better than Juwan Bentley?
Nope.
He's not.
Wow, that's saying
something. He was not good in this game. He's okay against the run. He had a lot of trouble in pass coverage, dropping into his sets. He's had a lot of issues with that. He's been fine. I kind of want to see now, after seeing some of these pieces develop, Winovich and Duggar and Uche and Jennings to a lesser extent. He hasn't really popped recently. I want to see Bentley coming back a little bit more healthy with a little bit of rest, maybe with his mind a little clearer after sort of being a crash course the first, six games of the season. I want to see if he can do any better with better pieces around him, because I do think he's a smart player. He's a physical player. He's not the fastest guy, but I think he is definitely an improvement over Terrence Hall. That's for sure.
Okay, folks, if you want to join us to talk some football, a couple open lines at 617-779-0985. Most importantly, Greg, what do you expect from this team the rest of the year? That's another way of asking, is there a path?
There's a path for the Patriots, certainly, to get competitive. 9-7, 10-6. Is that going to be good enough at the end of the day? I don't know. That's the real question in terms of, the schedules for the other teams. I'm sure you'll have your fun with the New York Times schedule predictor and all that stuff.
Greg, if they're 10-6, they're like a 95, 97% chance of making the playoffs. 10-6, they're in. Don't you worry about that.
Yeah. Look, I had the Patriots before the season. I had them here at 4-5. And I actually had them losing next week to Houston. That was before Houston imploded. So if they can get to 5-5, that's ahead of where they are. I predicted that they would win their final six games. I think that's on the table. You know, I don't think the Cardinals are all that good. Kyler Murray certainly is a special player that they'll have a lot of difficulty with. But I think overall, especially on defense without Chandler Jones, they're not that great. The Chargers and the Rams have their issues. The Dolphins are a team that I worry about, and the Bills are trouble. But the Patriots have a path, but they have to keep playing like this. This is the only way they know how to play. They can't afford mistakes on offense. Not a lot of lost yardage, penalties, turnovers. Look, the last 2 weeks they haven't had turnovers, and they've had one score wins. I mean, that's the margin of error for this team. And if they can continue that, maybe in Houston, it being indoors, hopefully they get a lead. They can do a little bit more. Maybe they can push the envelope a little bit offensively to see what they're capable of. But right now, there's a very narrow path for this team. And they executed on both sides of the ball. They got help with the weather, and also the three terrible center snaps were humongous in that game and really probably cost the Ravens that game. But I think that there is a path for them going forward.
I mean, you just answered some of it right there, but the generic question is, what do they have to do? You know, what's the number one thing? How do they have to play?
Turnover free. That's the number one thing. They can't afford turnovers. I think the offensive line continuity has been a huge thing for them. It'll be interesting to see whether Illuminor gets back in the lineup now that he's healthy with what Owenu has been able to do with the other four guys. That's a tough question to answer at this point. He had certainly earned it to that point in the season, but I don't know if you want to disrupt that. And also, you know, you're going to have to ride Damian Harris. This is a kid whose confidence is sky high. He's, in my opinion, he's by far the best offensive player that they have, regardless of position. And so hopefully he stays healthy and keeps making big plays.
Is there any chance, Greg, that they can find a second receiver beyond Jacoby Myers?
You got to hope for Edelman. Yeah. I mean, that's ideally Edelman comes back. And I think Cam talked about it after the game about how, you know, Edelman has looked better. So, yeah, I mean, they need Edelman to really pop. I mean, at least Nikhil gave them blocking in this last game and was physical. Maybe that's something that he can build on too.
See, I just think teams can take away the run if they really commit to taking away the run. But Baltimore did at the end of the game. I mean, they're a good running team. I think they should rely on it and all that. I'm not telling you, like, throw the ball 50 times. I'm just saying if you put eight guys in the box and you play hard, in the NFL, you should be able to stop the run. I think teams are going to do that. Can you get away
the Ravens did down the stretch, yeah.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, can you get away with throwing to one guy? No, you can't. So someone else has to emerge. And I, frankly, Maz, had written off Edelman. Like, when he went out and went to IR, I said, well, that's the last you'll see of him. He's done. Is he not done, Greg?
I'm not banking on him.
Is Edelman not done?
I don't know. I mean, look, nobody really knows. We're going to have to see. I mean, hopefully whatever he had done to his knee gets them through the rest of the season, because they could really use they still lack any sort of quickness on the inside. I think Demir Byrd's a good, solid receiver, and he would be good as sort of your number three. I don't think we're going to get any more from Harry. So I think really you're hoping for Edelman to come back and look a little bit like his old self. And Edelman's one of those guys like Brady that I'll never write off until they're dragging him off the field just because of the player that he's been throughout his career.
So I don't write him off in terms of his heart or his effort. I just think that the body's shot. That's what I think.
Well, bone on bone, Jimmy? Like, I mean...
Yeah, and the other thing is, if they were optimistic about him coming back, then why did they go get Isaiah Ford? Like, to me, there's a connection to be drawn there. So I just, and again, I'm not saying you're wrong, Greg. I'm just telling you that I look at Edelman, I try to be practical about it. I think the reality is that Julian Edelman doesn't have a lot of football left in him, if any.
Okay, so your thoughts on all of this. And I know Greg also has some interesting stuff on Chase Winovich and Stephon Gilmore, that story. So we'll get to those things with your calls right after this.
Dugger Mass. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Football is in mid-season form, and there is no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings. To celebrate week 11 of the football season, DraftKings is crowning another new millionaire this week. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. So, download the DraftKings app now and use code SPORTSHUB. And for a limited time, new users can get a free shot at a $1 million top prize. Again, enter code SPORTSHUB to get a free shot at a $1 million top prize with your first deposit. Code SPORTSHUB, only at DraftKings.
Minimum $5 deposit required. $1 million for just applies.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Wilder Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jackson throwing. That's a harsh drop. In 2 seconds. And Dobbins couldn't handle it. Turned it over on downs, and the New England Patriots have pulled off a big upset on a night when they really needed it.
So this is a team that's gone from 2-5 to 4-5 in a space of 6 days. Get a big break when Buffalo loses. It's not over yet for these guys. They end the season with 3 division games. They end the season here in back-to-back games with Buffalo and the Jets, and keeping playoff hopes alive in this expanded playoff season.
If you write off the New England Patriots, you do so at your own peril.
Greg Bedard is not willing to do that. There you go, Murray, another guy that believes in the path.
He called it a narrow path, I believe, though. That was the terminology that he actually used. A narrow path.
That's okay. People want to believe, believe.
Nevertheless, it's a path.
Yeah, go nuts.
More like a trail.
It's a path. It's a trail. You will be playing for the playoffs in the last couple of weeks. That's my expectation. Anything less than that, and I think they deserve a lot of criticism. You should at least be in the hunt in the last couple of weeks where you're playing meaningful games and you're watching meaningful games across the league. That's where they have to be. And I think they will be. And if things break right, they get a little bit better, they'll be in. So
this is like life like a Lions or a Vikings fan. It's a whole new world.
Pretty close at the moment. Goofy. But they should be better than that. It shouldn't get to be that bad.
But you know what?
Goofy permutations, rooting for other loser teams to lose. It's a whole new life.
Isn't there a difference there? Those teams have never won. So, you know, it ain't so fun to be in the hunt every year and looking at those other games. Like, I get it. Now you're in a whole new thing where you've had this run and now you have to reset it. And so you're just there and you feel like it's just sort of a temporary thing where you have to be there. Like, if that's your bottom, you know, That's how the Vikings and Lions and those teams live. What if that's just your bottom? I mean, shouldn't that be a goal?
Yeah, that's a good what if. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
There we go.
That's a good what if.
I got a good what if there. Yeah. Now, if you become those teams, then it's going to suck.
That would be a problem.
So if in 5 years we're sitting here at 4-5 and talking about the path, not so good.
Yeah, then it's not good.
Okay, I'm with you. But for now, I'm willing to accept it as long as they pull themselves out of it and are competitive right up until the playoffs and maybe even get in. So your thoughts, again, with Greg Bedard. Jimmy and Medway, lead us off.
Yeah, listening to Murray the last few weeks has me convinced Jimmy Stewart is back there working like a puppet. Because I find it hard to believe someone could be this miserable on a daily basis. Listen, if I'm being honest with myself, and I think most real football fans would agree, this has been the most entertaining regular season to follow in a decade. Give me that game Sunday night over any of the AFC's blowouts from the last few years. And it's just going to be that much sweeter when this path clears and the underdog team grinds its way into the playoffs and Murray and all these fair-weather fans have to suck it.
Okay, hear, hear. I'm with you on the games being more interesting. I mean, they may not be more entertaining. You know, maybe we're parsing words there. But if you don't find the style of football entertaining, that's fine. That's a personal taste. But I do find them grinding their way through this and pulling themselves off the mat, if that's what they're doing, and grinding these games out, more interesting. I do find that.
I mean, look, the style of play is pretty elementary. I mean, Greg, you tell me if I'm wrong. I don't think there's anything overly complex going on out there. It's just about executing the simple things. And you mentioned turnovers in the last segment. You said they'll win if, as long as they don't turn the ball over, that the margin's that thin. I think it's even more than that, Greg. I think they can't commit penalties. I think, you know, to me, that's another big one. Anything that goes backwards, and they're porked. So, but again, to the style of play, you tell me, is there anything exotic going on out there? Because it doesn't look like it.
No. It's certainly not on offense. I mean, on offense, they're just figuring out what they can do well. I don't even think they trust screens all that much, which I thought they would be using a little bit more, but I don't think they love that. I think they're trying to, control Cam Newton. I think the hope is that maybe in Houston with better weather that they can do a little bit more. Maybe they would have against the Ravens. But, you know, one fun fact for you guys. Did you know that since, I think it's halftime of the Bills game, the Patriots have scored on 13 of their last 18 offensive possessions.
Hmm.
You know, before
right kneel down
the field goal on the Ravens game. Yep, 13 of 18.
So there you go. I mean, they are playing better on that side of the ball.
No question.
I mean, I think it's kind of unmistakable.
I think they just simplified it. They made it less complex and
absolutely.
It works. Yeah, it's just, to me, that's what they should have done from the beginning.
And it's easy to ignore against the Jets. Like, I'll grant you that. But when you add it up and you go back to Buffalo and Baltimore, which are real teams, it does feel like they're onto a little something there, just a little. Tim and Uxbridge, go ahead, Tim.
Hey, just wanted to ask Bedard why the Baltimore Ravens, with the best rush offense in the league, come out and throw 3 straight passes to go 3 and out on the opening drive. and never sustain any momentum the rest of the game?
It's a good question. I think that the Ravens probably thought, all right, well, they know who we are. They know that they need to sell out to stop the run. Let's throw them a curveball at the beginning of the game. And I think that the Patriots outsmarted them a little bit there. And I thought for the rest of the game, largely what I saw on film was a Ravens team that's a bunch of pretenders. I mean, those guys, especially Marcus Peters, that guy was a dog throughout that game. I mean, his effort was terrible in multiple spots in that game. He's yelling at teammates. Hollywood Brown's yelling, you know, about wanting the ball even when he's covered. Lamar Jackson's whining after the game about, you know, it seemed like it was raining harder when we had the ball. Like, you know, those guys, they're a bunch of pretenders, that team. They're really soft. It's amazing that, you know, that coming into this game, I thought the Patriots, one of the weaknesses that I thought they would exploit on the Ravens was that they were so soft on the edge. And we're talking about, you know, they traded for Ngakoue. They gave Judon the franchise tag. Pernell McPhee's a good player. Jalen Ferguson's a good player. And Ryan Izzo was putting guys on their back, for crying out loud. I mean, they just didn't try for the first three quarters. And to me, that's an indictment on Harbaugh and the team in general. But in general, you know, Felger, not to sound like a homer and not to give into your path, and I'm sure other people will be writing this once the Patriots go 5-5 this weekend. But really, outside of the Chiefs, and some Patriots fans will be like, look, we almost beat them at their place with COVID with Brian Hoyer. I'll ignore that for a second because I don't think the Chiefs came in with the right mentality. But who in the AFC do you think, if the Patriots get in and they play better, a little bit better towards the end of the season, if they get into the playoffs and they have to go on the road with no fans, who do you really think they don't have a chance against in the postseason?
Okay, so
KC, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis.
Indianapolis, Murray?
Yeah.
Indianapolis.
Pittsburgh.
Well, hold on. Pittsburgh's ain't, but Indianapolis, I thought you hated Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, I do. He's the weak link, but that defense is legit.
Yeah, so, Indy could blow it, though, because of the quarterback. But Pittsburgh wouldn't blow it at home against the Patriots.
Greg, you think
the
they
Ravens,
would hit? Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
Oh, I was just going to say the Ravens had an easy time with the Colts. And, you know, so not that I want to play that game with, you know, who beat who, but, you know, I don't think the Steelers are all that good. I think that the Patriots, what the Steelers want to do offensively, throw the ball, plays into what the Patriots want. And if the Steelers want to give up the run, don't run against the Patriots, that plays into their what they want to do. And I also think that the Steelers would certainly be a tough matchup in terms of the Patriots run game against their front. But the Patriots offensive line and Harris, they're pretty good right now.
Did you hear that, Murray? Other than Kansas City, what team, on the road in the playoffs, would scare you?
The delusion has just like that. Just because they beat the Ravens and now they're the third best team in the conference. That's good. Enjoy it, everybody.
Greg, you're underselling Pittsburgh, Greg. Pittsburgh at home would be tough. They got a real defense. They got a lot of guys to cover. They can run the ball on top of it. So it's a versatile offense, and they have a good defense. Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh, the Patriots aren't going to win that game. Not these Patriots. Okay. The Brady Patriots, yes, because you can spread Pittsburgh out, get the ball out fast. You can attack Pittsburgh, and the one thing they can't do is spread the field. This team can't do that, so they're going to have trouble scoring.
Don't let them beat you down, Greg. Stick to your guns. Here's Charlie in Cranston. Go ahead, Charlie.
Hey, Bedard, are we witnessing Belichick setting up his next defensive masterpiece?
Is he setting up his next defensive masterpiece, Greg?
Yeah.
It's
a Monet.
But let me ask it more seriously. The way they did draft, the kind of players they drafted, is he building a certain kind of defense that would be different than what we're used to? The his old defense was the stout, 3-4. I know it's been a while since they've done that, but the big two-gapping defensive linemen, the four linebackers with the big guys on the outside, is he building a different kind of defense?
Not on purpose. Well, look, I'm not going to go full Bobo on this. But if they had defensive linemen, and maybe Carl Davis will be the greatest thing since Calais Campbell. I don't know. He played well the other night. But unless they hold up in the middle, it doesn't really matter what they have in terms of pieces. Right now, they're a small defense that gets run over by most teams until they prove otherwise. And the other night was a good start, but the Ravens stink on the offensive line. And they also didn't play well and didn't adjust to what the Patriots are doing. But if we continue to see more of that, maybe I might give in, but I'm not going Bobo yet. Nope.
Real quick, Steve in the car, you just want to hit on something that was just mentioned?
Yeah, sorry. So, Greg, I mean, I think not that Carl Davis is the best thing to come into the organization, but it always seems like Belichick's defense is good when they have a big guy in the middle, whether it's Allen Branch and Shelton, and it just allows the other guys like Coward to play their regular position instead of the middle, and I just didn't know. That's what I saw when he came in the second half of the Jets. It seemed like they started to stop the run more.
Okay, more on Carl Davis. You think he's actually like a key?
It could be. I want to see more of a team that's going to line up and hit the Patriots in the mouth in terms of stopping the run on whether they can do that. And maybe they can. I don't know. I'm not going to dismiss that. But what I saw in this game was the Patriots using, you know, they covered up the center. They covered up the tackles. And so, you know, set a hard edge to funnel things back in the middle. And really they were funneling to the backside pursuit. Whether it was Duggar or Winovich or whoever, they were really just trying to get the backside pursuit involved, not the big guys in the middle. But if they do this against a more conventional rushing offense, I might believe a little bit more. But, you know, Davis has had I think he already had concussion issues since he's been here. So, you know, we'll see how long he lasts.
All right, three up, three down. We've looked at the film and we've gone over the grades. We'll give you what we saw, meaning Greg will and Maz will chime in as well right after Big Jim Murray's update.
So you're a business that's thriving, but then, don't just bounce back. Bounce forward with serious and reliable gig speed internet. But is it secure? Sure, it's secure.
So how do I do this?
We do this together. Bounce forward with Comcast Business.
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Oh, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now, it's time for three up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And three down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run him on a slant. With his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
The Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Three down.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, let's get into it. Three studs, three duds. Some Sunday night's win against Baltimore. Such a powerful segment. It's sponsored by Massachusetts General Hospital. Mass General reminds you not to delay important preventive screenings or follow-up care during COVID-19. For more information on in-person and virtual appointments, visit massgeneral.org. Number one star, Greg.
Chase Winovich. He was terrific in this game. I had him for 12 impactful plays, including 8 quarterback pressures, which,
Jesus,
according to my statistics, was the most since Trey Flowers had the same against the Jets in 2018 against Josh McCown.
Okay, well, we got some more stuff on Winovich coming up about him and Belichick coexisting. It's kind of some interesting stuff, but go ahead. Your first star, man.
Damian Harris. I thought Damian Harris was absolutely terrific in this game, was the key to the whole game.
Number two.
Damian Harris. I had him for 8-plus plays in this one. He makes plays when sometimes they're not there, like on the 25-yarder. It wasn't apparent. Where I sit in the press box, I'm behind the line on that play, and I was like, how did he get through there? There wasn't a hole. Patrick Queen jumped out of his gap, and that led to the run. But initially, there was nothing there, and he made a 25-yard gain out of it. You feel like he's going to take it to the house every time he touches the ball at this point. He's just been terrific.
I'm going to leave the line play to Greg. I went Rex Burkhead second. I think Burkhead's been good every time he's played this year.
Awesome.
Every single game.
He's been just about my favorite Patriot. I don't know if he's been better than Harris. I mean, he's not. But I just think he's just – I think he gets extra yards almost every single time. Almost every single time, and I love his – he just sticks his nose in there. He's been my favorite Patriot this year. All right, third star, Greg.
I had Jacoby Myers over a couple guys, including Burkhead and Ryan Izzo, but I thought that, look, his touchdown throw was tremendous in the elements. He threw the ball better than Lamar Jackson and Cam Newton that night. Drew a couple penalties, a couple key catches late to move the chains. Including, you know, one where he basically broke Marcus Peters' ankles, even though Marcus Peters was too busy watching Cam Newton in the backfield instead of covering Jacoby on that play. But I thought Myers was great again.
So, Greg, I just want to clarify something here. The Patriots ran for 173 yards and ran it 39 times, and you did not have an offensive lineman in the top three.
What's the matter with you? You feeling okay?
Yeah, I just thought that, look, I'm an equal opportunity positivity guy. So, I could have gone with David Andrews or Shaq Mason, but I decided to go with Jacoby.
Yeah, I take it back. I'm going with the fatties. Isaiah Wynn, left tack. I thought Isaiah Wynn was good in this game, and I noticed him, and I think that he's an excellent run blocker. Go ahead, Greg. You're shaking your head. Why? Just be fast.
Yeah, he was just okay in this game. I thought him and Tooney and Owenu had issues. I thought Andrews had a clean sheet, and Shaq Mason was tremendous as well.
Okay, three duds. Get to the good stuff. Number one dud.
The special teams blocking, whether it was field goals, which I thought that their leakiness on the right side of the line caused the missed extra point, and the Patriots had a punt blocked, partially blocked later in the game. I mean, the special teams could have easily cost them that game and almost did. So special teams for me was number one.
Boy, this was tough. This was tough.
Yeah, right?
Because, again, overall they played well. But I went with Jason McCourty. They didn't throw a ton at him, but when I did notice him, he looked like he was behind a lot. So, to me, McCourty has not been good. I went with him first.
Second, Greg?
Terrez Hall. I did not think he was good enough in pass coverage. He's a liability there. He also missed the tackle, had a dumb penalty. I did not think he played well in this game.
John Simon, you can have him. You can have him. Every time, look, again, Greg, I'm sure he played better in this game. You're telling me they set the edge. I remember occasions early in that game where it looked like they got around him. It got better as the game went on, and it got better fast early, but I didn't think Simon was good.
What does the clipboard say, Bedard?
I had him for a sack and a one minus. That was it. A one up, one down. I thought he was okay in this game. I thought that, look, you'll hear from Patriots fans, they'll rave about that he was given the green dot for this game. I think that was just an indication of, I don't think it worked well with Devin with the dot the week before. That's tough for a free safety because they have a lot on their plate, and they figured Simon would be on the field more than a lot of other guys, so he wore the green dot in this game.
All right, third dud.
Devin McCourty. I thought that he was late getting to the edge on a touchdown when he could have gotten there. And also on Snead's touchdown later in the game, they sort of put him in conflict. I know Collinsworth talked about it on the telecast, but I thought he was late reacting to Snead once the tight end hooked on his route. So I thought he could have made a better play on that. I thought he had some issues in this game.
He crossed my mind. I almost picked both the Twins. You can slice them up how you want. I almost gave two spots to the Twins. Instead, I went with Nick Folk. So I know, Greg, they didn't block on the right side. Make the freaking kick. Just kick the ball down the middle. Kid, make the kick.
Where was Cam Newton for you quickly, Greg?
Right in the middle of the road. I had him for two-plus plays, three-minus plays. He sort of was a caretaker in this game, and I think that's – that was fine for this game, the elements and things like that. But if this team wants to go anywhere, he's got to do a little bit more. But look, who am I to complain about what Josh McDaniels is doing right now, considering they've scored on 13 of the last 18 meaningful drives. So I think that's significant.
Okay, meanwhile, can Bill Belichick coexist with a couple of really important defensive players, including the star of the game, according to Greg, on Sunday night, Chase Winovich? Is that a marriage that is meant to last? Winovich and Belichick. We have some stuff on that and the Gilmore situation coming up next in our long commercial-free segment.
Felger and Mass. Felger and Mass.
Whee!
It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Post-game Sunday, you talk about Chase Winovich having a great week of practice and obviously played off the ball a decent amount. He said he hadn't really done that since high school. So I'm curious, A, if the tape backed up your feelings about how he played that day, and also what sort of led you to have him play off the ball when he, as he said, he hadn't done it very, very much.
Right. Well, just the defense that we had in that particular, some of those plays that were called, he did that. And as you said, it wasn't something that he's done a lot of, and he didn't do a lot of it for us. But in those particular situations, it was That's kind of what was called for. And one thing about Chase, he's always willing to and ready to do whatever you ask him to do. So, you know, he learned the assignments on that and what to do, and I thought I did a good job of it.
All right, kind words from Belichick on Chase Winovich, which I don't know has always been the case this year. Behind the scenes, you have to wonder if there's been a little bit of a back and forth there or a tug. Wouldn't you say, Greg?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that, look, he had a great game. And I think that, you know, what Belichick said is, you know, absolutely the truth. And, you know, when he says he's always willing and ready to do whatever you ask him to do, I think that's also true. But there's a difference between being willing and ready to do what you're asked and actually doing it on the field. And I think that, to me, this is a big challenge. I think that Winovich is a big challenge for Belichick in terms of him being this sort of new age millennial type guy. And you guys read the draft opinions of some GMs that Bob McGinn had about Winovich before the draft, where they talked about him being a big time millennial and he's into his brand and things like this. This is really the first type of guy that Belichick has had like this. And I think to this point in his career, there's been a tug of war with Winovich about him conforming to what the Patriots need. And the Patriots just want you to do your job and execute. And I think that sometimes Chase Winovich is about other things, including on the field. I thought there was a pass to Deebo Samuel against the 49ers that sort of illustrated where, if that was Rob Ninkovich or Kyle Van Noy in the past, they would have stayed with Deebo Samuel, taken him away in the flat. Garoppolo would have had nothing, and it probably would have been a sack or a throwaway or a bad play. Instead, Chase Winovich went after his instincts took over, that he wanted to make a play and make it somewhat about him. And so he went after Garoppolo, and Garoppolo threw to Deebo Samuels and went for 23 easy yards. It's those type of plays where I think Winovich fights the person that's really inside him. And the question is, can he ultimately, on a down-to-down, game-to-game basis, do what's required of this team and be totally unselfish, all about football all the time? I don't know whether he can do that, and I think it's something that's going to be interesting to watch as we go forward with him.
It starts on the field, and it's really predominantly on the field. So the things that we like to have fun with and talk about with him, I think, are secondary, but they do factor in. In other words,
they're symptomatic.
Well, so that's part of it, Maz. I would say they're symptomatic, right? He doesn't quite get it off the field, so it's symptomatic of him not quite getting it on the field. Also, Belichick's frustration level is such that, well, if he did his job and, you know, was a selfless player and knew his assignments and just did his assignments and, you know, was a hard-nosed, assignment-based football player, he wouldn't care if he was screwing around on the radio or anywhere else. But when he watches him screw up on the field, and then he's got to listen to him talk about Acapulco and all the crap on the radio with Beadle and Zoe or whatever it is that he's doing, then Bill says, now I got to listen to this guy on top of it all. And so it starts with the football, but the second thing does come in, and that this is a setup for what something Greg uncovered. It's small, it's goofy, but it sort of talks about and speaks to what we're talking about with Chase Winovich. Now, you had a photographer, Boston Sports Journal, had a photographer at the game Sunday night, right, Greg?
Yeah, Adam Reichens does a great job for us. He's at all the home games, and you know, after the game, he sends me a file of all the photos of the game. So I go through and I pick out what matches with each story. And I'm going through it, and all of a sudden, there's Chase Winovich staring at me through my computer screen and, like, multiple pictures. And the way Adam sends it, like, it's a running thing. So I could tell what's during the game, what's not during the game. Like, you know, he had some pictures of him celebrating, mugging for camera after the game, in an empty stadium. Okay, all right, that's a little weird. But then he had two pictures where Winovich looks like he's staring directly at the camera in the middle of the game, and I texted Adam. I said, wait a minute, was he really staring into the camera? And he said, definitely. Like, that's what I'm talking about.
So get
this.
Why
are you worried about the camera?
So he's in the middle of the game, and he spots the cameraman taking pictures of the sideline, and he, for all intents and purposes, starts posing for him.
Oh, yeah, he hammed it up.
And we're showing you one now on NBC Sports Boston with the tongue out. And I don't know what he's doing there, but he's He's basically seeking out the photog and giving him shots.
Oh, yeah. No. This guy thinks he's a rock star. I mean, again, he
guys with long hair, man, they're a different breed.
Seriously, posing though, for the paparazzi.
Oh, yeah. No. Like Teen Beat magazine, for crying out loud. He loves himself some Chase Winovich, doesn't he?
This
I know this sounds like me totally being a dick, so I'm trying to take the edge out of my voice in the process. The guy loves himself. Really. I mean, nobody is more impressed with Chase Winovich than Chase Winovich. Just ask him for a theory on something. He'll give it to you.
I mean, those pitchers, and it's like, and some of the stuff we play, you've got to hear him on Beadle and Zoll. I mean, he does have an opinion on everything, which makes it a great interview.
Yeah, no, he's good radio.
But some of it is, you know, when he was talking about, you know, I don't really know what goes into the game plan, you know, man. And you can, when he's talking, you can almost literally feel him feathering his hair as he's talking. Like, I don't know why they couldn't, I don't know what game plan there could possibly be where they wouldn't have me in there, man. And you just see the pictures like...
It's just like eating an elephant, I'd say one bite at a time.
And he's got all these little cute Winoviches.
Sometimes I don't really quite understand the game plan.
So it's in the middle of the game, and he finds the photographer taking pictures of the sidelines, and he basically gives him the shots, starts seeking out and looking at the cameraman to get the shot.
Oh, yeah, no, he hams it up. Hams it up. Like, I just took his puppy to the photographer, and he's standing in front of, let's ham it up with the puppy.
Okay, so...
Murray, Mike, I want the record to show, Murray, I was first on this guy.
You were first.
I was first on this guy. I said this like a month ago. I said, I've had enough of Chase Winovich.
Yeah, you were annoyed early. You were ahead of the curve.
As soon as I heard the spots that aired on our station, I said, oh, boy, is this guy handsome.
Sometimes I don't really quite understand the game plan.
So to the point where last week during the Beadle and Zoe show, I believe he literally got yanked off the air by Gerard Mayo or maybe Steve Belichick or Bears or someone who was ever whoever was listening. We played you this a couple times last week. He started to go into the Acapulco stuff, which again is he's Croatian or something, a Croatian for God willing. Who knows? He was doing something there with that. And I think literally got yanked off. The
you can look it up on YouTube. There's songs about it. Sorry, just give me one second.
And that was Gerard Mayo coming in the room, giving him the throat slash.
Wrap it up, Chase.
And I'm just trying to do everything I can to be the best teammate that I can be and just ride the wave. So, fellas, I hate to do this to you, but I do have to go.
We do too.
So it's been a pleasure coming on. And sorry I couldn't get to the question of the week this week, but we will double up next week.
Okay, it's good. All right, Chase. Yeah,
sounds really
good,
Chase. Appreciate you having me on. See you guys.
So, piece of work. So all the off-field stuff, Maz, if he were following his assignments,
sure,
doing everything he was supposed to on the field, Bill would not care about the off-field stuff.
It'd be colorful.
But if it's symptomatic of what he is on the field, then it's like, I'm not going to have to listen to this. So it's all a piece with Winovich.
Yeah, I think they're just having trouble reining him in because he's so interested in being the golden-haired Chase Winovich. Hey, New England, it's your boy Chase Winovich. In that spot, I wanted to puke the first time I heard that. Undoubtedly, our sales staff wrote it up, which is fine. I mean, they're trying to ham it up, too. I get it. But I heard him say it. I go, never in a million years would I have said that if they handed me that script. Hey, it's your boy, Maz. Please. Greg, the guy loves himself. He loves himself. Yeah, he needs some humility.
I think that Mike brings up the key point is that, you know, if you do what you're supposed to do on the field, And certainly he did on Sunday night. Belichick doesn't give a crap what you do off the field. I mean, just look at Lawrence Taylor, who was a freaking three-ring circus off the field. But come game day, he was amazing. And so Belichick will deal with all that stuff and just chalk it up to a guy being colorful. But the thing is some of his missed assignments, is that who he is inherently, or will he mature and get past all that stuff and realize that, you know, this is the business. This is what he's going to have to do, you know, long term. And I think there's certainly a chance of that. But so far, I think it's fair to say that Winovich has been a conflict, you know, within himself and within the scheme up until this point.
Yeah, posing for your photog during the game. So anyway, but we still have something on Gilmore for you coming up. First, 90 seconds for an update from Murray. Then we're going to go right to your phones. No commercials here.
Sounds good, Chase. Appreciate you having me on. See you guys.
Football is in mid-season form, and there is no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings. To celebrate Week 11 of the football season, DraftKings is crowning another new millionaire this week. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. So, download the DraftKings app now and use code SPORTSHUB. And for a limited time, new users can get a free shot at a $1 million top prize. Again, enter code SPORTSHUB to get a free shot at a $1 million top prize with your first deposit. Code SPORTSHUB, only at DraftKings.
Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.